You're listening to eDirects.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. درو شبل Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home. Inshallah, just to continue from the last session, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the name of one particular bird in the story of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. And the Arabic name given to that bird is Hudhud. Hudhud. In English, the translation is the hoopoe bird. The scholars have also mentioned the reason for the encounter, as in the meeting of this bird with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam, after the completion of Baytul Maqdis, this honor was given to him, Masjid Aqsa, as in Baytul Maqdis. After the completion of Baytul Maqdis, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam decided that he would go to Makkah Mukarramah and to do tawaf of the Kaaba and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of this honor that Allah gave him, and at the same time also to perform Hajj. So this was the intention of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. This was after the completion of Baytul Maqdis. Now when he told the people around him, some of the close ministers, it is said that news spread like wildfire, and many amongst the ins, humans and jinns, all wanted to accompany this great Nabi, and also from amongst the animal kingdom, many of the animals also wanted to come with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam to join him for this trip to Makkah Mukarramah and for him to perform his Hajj. And so Khair Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam did not put any restriction, not for 15 days or 30 days. And so Khair, he said, anybody who wants to come, they are free to go. But the method for Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam, of course, his way of traveling was in a very different way. The winds would carry him. The winds would carry Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. And so behind him would be the jinns immediately getting there also, because Allah has given them that power. And then you have the ulama who had known Ismi Azam. And so they would also be traveling very fast with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. And so Khair, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam got to Makkah Mukarramah. The scholars have mentioned that during his stay in Makkah Mukarramah, he gave this open dawat feast to all of the people that were in the city of Makkah Mukarramah, the musafireen, the travelers, and also the different tribes living towards the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah. And so they would come and they would eat from the feast provided by Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Scholars have mentioned that daily 5,000 camels and 5,000 cows and 20,000 goats were slaughtered. What a dawat every day. 5,000 camels, 5,000 cows and 20,000 goats were slaughtered. Remember that with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, he came with his own entourage, with so many people from Sham also accompanying him. And the minute people knew, of course, of this great man, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, to be in Makkah Mukarramah, everybody was there. And so this da'wat was given to everybody, all the makhluk that was there. Subhanallah al-Azim. Now, whilst his stay in Makkah Mukarramah, it must be noted that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he delivered a very important amanat, the responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to all of the prophets. And he discharged this duty with all sincerity. And so what he did is that he invited all of the leaders of Makkah Mukarramah and all the iconic figures of the time that were there, all of them, they came. And there was this majlis, a gathering with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said to the people that were there, he said, I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, and then I want to say something to you, that in this city, a man will come who has been given the title to be Khatamun Nabiyyin. Subhanallah. And so he actually gave the glad tidings of the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He actually described the sifat, the characteristics of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to them, how he will be, what he will do, physically how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam looks like. And so all that vital information was given especially to the people of Makkah Mukarramah. And he said to them that this is an amanat and be very careful. And so when this Nabi comes, don't be deceived. Accept him, respect him and follow him. And you will be given salvation. And he said to the people that he is Khatamun Nabiyyin. Subhanallah. One of the main titles given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he is amongst the final and the seal of all the prophets that have come. There is no Nabi after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ana khatamun nabiyyin wa la nabiyya ba'di. And that there is no Nabi after me. And so for a lot of the people here, we should be very careful, because you have the Qadianis that are promoting their false kufr amongst the people. And that is what they do, they trap people. So be very vigilant and make sure that we understand what is right and what is wrong. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Khatamun Nabiyyin. And so he explained this. Now we have to also understand that every Nabi that came actually spoke of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In Surah Saf clearly mentioned Jesus, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He also mentioned the coming of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And he said, Ya'ti min ba'di, that after me shall come a Nabi ismuhu Ahmad, that his name will be Ahmad. And these are the names that were given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. The root word is the same from the word Hamida. So these were the titles. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name is Muhammad, Mahmud, and Ahmed. So all of these names are given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so clearly, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam gave glad tidings. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam gave glad tidings. Until today, they have not managed to erase the signs of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even from the modern day scriptures that we have today, despite the fact that every year there is some kind of a change to it and you have different versions that are popping out all the time. But you'll see that indirectly there is always something that reflects the truth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so this was an amanat of every Nabi, that before Nabuwat was given to them, they accepted what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered them to do. And that was to make mention of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to all of the people of their community. And they did so. So Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam spoke out to the people of Makkah. And so one of them said that, Hazrat, can you tell us, what is the time period between you and this last Nabi that will come in Makkah Sharif, Makkah Mukarrama? So Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, he will come after 1,000 years. He will come after 1,000 years. After 1,000 years of the time of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And so khair, he stayed there, he met the people of Makkah Mukarrama, and that is why Makkah Sharif, Baytullah Sharif, is very sacred. It is said that every Nabi that has come has made tawaf of Kaaba. Every Nabi that has come has made tawaf of the Kaaba. And so we also need to understand this. So khair, after Hajj, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam decided that now he will return back. So all of the people from Sham who were with him from Baytul Maqdis, they were also returning back with Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So khair, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam again gave his order to the winds and he was uplifted, taken. And during his flight, of course, he saw this location which was green, lush and very beautiful. So Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said to the winds, "By do a nice soft landing here." And so subhanallah, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam came down. When he came down, all the jinns also had to come down. All of the ins of Ismi Azam also, they had to come, everybody. And information is given. The winds would also pass on the information that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam now is in this area. Subhanallah. And he liked the location, it was so beautiful, the greenery and the gardens that were there. Hazrat decided that he wanted to encamp in this location, that we will stop here. Now Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam's habit was that for very long hours he would stand in qiyam worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very long hours. Be it safar or hadar, traveling or whether he was a resident, he would always have this ma'mool that he would stand in long qiyam. And so Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam stopped. And he said, prepare the meal for everybody here and we will be staying here. Now, our little friend Hudhud, the bird that was there, monitoring everything, thinking that acha, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is going to be staying here for a long time. So let me disappear for a bit. Let me go out, venture out and scan the area, what's around, what's new. Let me see something. Free bird, let me go around and have a look. And so Hudhud decided that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam at this moment is not in need of Hudhud. Now remember the duty of Hudhud. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, when he would want to do wudu, he would do wudu from pure, clean water. And Hudhud would say that, Hazrat, this is where water is. That is why the scholars have mentioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this quality to this bird that it can see water underground like how we can see water in front of us. It can see water underground like how we can see water in front of us. And so Hudhud was an expert. And the name of the Hudhud of Sulaiman alayhi salam was Ya'fur. What was it? Ya'fur. Someone close, Ya'fur, the name of Hudhud. So they would call him Ya'fur. And so Khair Ya'fur decided, okay, let me go. And go out and have a look. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam is mashgul now. He's talking to people and all that. So Ya'fur went out flying. And subhanallah, what happens? Ya'fur meets up with another Hudhud. Now this Hudhud, the second bird, that Hudhud is from Yemen. So a Yemeni Hudhud meets the Sulaimani Hudhud. The Yemeni Hudhud meets the Sulaimani Hudhud. And Allah has given them the ability to communicate. And so both of them started communicating. Oh, you look different. Who are you? But I come from Yemen. Where do you come from? I come from Baytul Maqdis, from Sham, Arz-e-Quds. And so what do you do there? So this Ya'fur said, I am the Hudhud of the great king, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam, the king of all humans and the king of all jinns, and all the creatures also obey him. The winds obey him, everything obeys him. The most powerful king that is alive. And so of course, the Hudhud wanted to show his mark also. So Ya'fur said, okay, then who are you? So this Yemeni Hudhud said, oh, you don't know who I am? I am the Hudhud of Bilqis. I am the Hudhud of Bilqis. Really? Who is Bilqis? The Hudhud is asking. So Bilqis, she is the queen of Yemen. There were two actually leaders in Yemen. One of the leaders was actually murdered. And then overall, Yemen became under her wing. She controlled everything. And this Yemeni Hudhud started saying that she has an army of 100,000 men who are very powerful. Very powerful, strong army. And she has this beautiful palace. And she is a woman. And she rules over her people. And she has her arsh, her throne, which is very expensive. And so the Sulaimani Hudhud said, nothing can be compared to Sulaiman alayhi salam. So he said, no, but you have to actually see what I am talking about. So Hudhud is saying, no, I can't come. But the Yemeni Hudhud is saying, come. And the Sulaimani Hudhud is saying that possibly Sulaiman alayhi salam will want to do wudu and he'll want water and he'll ask for me. So this Yemeni Hudhud said, okay, don't worry. The information that you will give him will soften his heart. The information that you give him of this new land will soften his heart, Yemen, this Bilqis. So he says, huh? Very true, very true. Information that I will give, I will be even closer to the great king Sulaiman alayhi salam. So both of them flying, so this Yemeni Hudhud takes the Sulaimani Hudhud for a tour, shows Yemen, this is the palace, this is the arsh, this is the throne, this is the army, these are the ministers, everything is shown. And he says, Bas, he goes, huh, Bas, he goes, okay, now I have to go back. Now by the time this Hudhud gets back to Sulaiman alayhi salam, it's late, very much late, late in the afternoon, after Asr. What was it? After Asr. By now the alarm has been disarmed and everybody is looking for Hudhud. Sulaiman alayhi salam has issued a fatwa. Where is this Hudhud? Does it want to be punished? Does it want to be punished that it breaks the rule of Sulaiman alayhi salam? Now Sulaiman alayhi salam was very strict. As a king he was very strict, and especially upon the jinns. He took full control of the jinns and also the animals. And they would obey him immediately. They were scared of him. That was Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Because that power was given to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Everything was musakhar for him. Everything was made subservient to him. And so, he said, where is Hudhud? Everybody is looking for Hudhud. Khair, it is said that the winds had already given information to Sulaiman alayhi salam that the winds had said, one wind had said to another that we saw Hudhud in this direction. And khair, he came. And so, we've covered the rest of the entire event, the incident that took place. But the reason why Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had asked Hudhud to be there immediately was because of this reason. And then information was given to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam about Bilqis. About Bilqis. Now, Hudhud, it is said that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam did not punish Hudhud at all. Subhanallah, the reason for that was, Hazrat Ikrima has mentioned that the reason for that is Hudhud, this particular bird, what they do is that they look after their parents. What do? They look after their parents. And the quality of this bird is such that if the parents are in their old age, then they dedicate the rest of their life in serving their parents. And they actually feed the parents in the mouth like how a mother would feed the babe, the child, by putting the luqma, the morsels, inside the mouth. And it was this reason why Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had a very soft heart for Hudhud. Despite the fact what he said was again to make sure that everybody understands. So harsh words were taken out, but the truth was that he knew that Hudhud has got one quality, and that they are obedient to their parents. Now imagine, my respected brothers, that there is every possibility that because of that one quality, Allah has also mentioned the name of Hudhud in the Quran. Because of that one quality. Today when we look at our own condition, the youth, subhanallah, when we are young, we respect the mother, the father. The minute the child becomes 16, 17, 18, he wants to rebel and go against the mother and father. And you ask the parents today, it's a challenge. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because the mindset has changed. The mindset has changed. And so we have to be very careful with our parents. If Hudhud can honor and respect the parents, then as human beings and those who are from the Ashraful Makhlukat, how should we be with our parents? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that we show respect, honor, and that we serve our parents until death. That is our ticket to Jannah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to one young man that your father is one of the doors of Jannah. Your father is one of the doors of Jannah. About the father. About the mother, he said that under the feet of your mother is Jannah. And so khair, Hudhud was saved. Now, Abu Kilaba is a great muhaddith of his time. Abu Kilaba, he is Hafiz-e-Hadith. Hafiz, a great scholar. When you read his halat, the biography of Sheikh Abu Kilaba, it is mentioned, he says that when he was actually in the stomach of his mother, when the mother had conceived him, he says that my mother saw a dream. My mother saw a dream. That she is giving birth to a Hudhud. That she gave birth to a Hudhud. So that's the dream that she had seen. when she was pregnant with this boy, Abu Kilaba. So she saw this dream and she panicked and she went to the scholars to ask that, what is the meaning of this? That I have a baby in my stomach, but I've seen a dream that I've given birth to a hudud. And so the scholars have said that if this dream is true, you will give birth to a great scholar and he will be a man who will love reading Salah. He will be a man who will love reading Salah. And when you look at the halat, the biography of Abu Kilaba, he was born, he became a great scholar, and daily he was in the habit of reading 400 nafal rakats. How many? Daily, 400 rakats nafal he would read. That was Hazrat Abu Kilaba. Khair, so this is just to cover the aspect of hudhud. Another very important issue that we mentioned, in case someone has in his mind, that what is the logic? What is the logic for Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam to actually change and modify the appearance of the throne, the arsh, that was presented to him all the way from Yemen? What is the logic? Logic says that it would be better if Bilqis was to see her own throne in front. That is what logic says. In the original format, to see something, she would be happy. She would be of great admiration for Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, that he's a powerful man. And so what is the wisdom? What for? Why did Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam say, Nakkiru, by change. Change and modify slightly the arsh and the throne. The ulama have given us an explanation that the jinns who were fearful of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam all the time, they feared that they actually knew the background of Bilqis. They understood that now Bilqis is coming and she has no power to fight Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, she is there to surrender. But what they knew is that the mother of Bilqis was a jinni woman. What was she? The mother of Bilqis was a jinni woman and the father was a human being. And there is every possibility that because she's got connection with the jinn world, that the mother was a jinni lady, she will pass on all the extra information of the mischievous jinns and what they have done to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, because she is also connected to the family of jinns. And so they panicked. They knew that if this lady comes to Sulaiman alayhi salam, she will most definitely want to be the wife of who? Sulaiman alayhi salam, and Sulaiman alayhi salam will marry her. She becomes a Muslimah, he will marry her. And if he marries her, there's a possibility that if a child is born, he will be Sulaiman the second. He will become Sulaiman the second. And the same controlled living for the jinns in captivity will become unbearable. So what they did is they accused Bilqis and they said to Sulaiman alayhi salam to put him off from this lady. And they said that, O Nabi of Allah, maybe you don't know, but this lady suffers from mild strokes of dementia, that she forgets. A lot of the times she forgets. Of course, she was not an old lady, but she forgets. And so do you think that it's worth even entertaining her and talking to her? And then what they said to her is that, Hazrat, you don't know that there are rumors that are circulating amongst us that there is a certain part of her body that resembles one part of the animal, one part of the animal. And what they were saying is that her one leg is covered with hair, just like the leg or the feet of an animal. So it's full of hair. And so you don't want to do anything with this lady. Now she was coming. So Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was a very intelligent man. So he wanted to actually prove them wrong, the jinns that were there. He said, no problem. We will see. We will examine her intellect. You are saying that there is an issue with her mental capacity. We'll see. And so Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam said that the most precious possession is her arsh. Slightly modified, we'll know. If she's intelligent, she will have some recognition of this. And so the test was there, the jinns were there. Sulaiman alayhi salam said to her, what is this arsh? And she said, قَالَتْ كَأَنَّهُ هُ, that it seems that this is the same as my arsh. It seems this is the same as my arsh. She passed the test. Because she knew that this was my arsh, this was my throne. And then Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam could not directly ask her, that can you please lift up your gown for me to see something. But he wanted to actually show it to them. Remember in the story of Banu Israel, Aliyazu Billah, when Banu Israel said to Musa alayhi salam, that Musa alayhi salam has got some skin disease. That is why he never wants to bathe with us. He never wants to bathe with us. So he's got some skin disease. So subhanallah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was in the river doing ghusl, and he put his clothes on the stone that was there. And the stone took the clothes and started running. Musa alayhi salam saw that. Musa alayhi salam went after the clothes. And subhanallah, Banu Israel from a distance actually could see the beautiful body of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah wanted to show them that there is nothing wrong with the body of Musa alayhi salam. So Sulaiman alayhi salam, what he did is that he had this beautiful palace made out of pure, clean, clear glass, which looked invisible. And for her to enter that palace, there was like a stream in front of her. And she actually thought that in order for her to make an entry into the palace, she'll have to step into the water. So what she did is that she lifted up her gown, but in reality, the water was beneath, and on top was this thin array of clear, invisible glass that was there. And so Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam looked, and subhanallah, there was nothing wrong with her. So this was again to show the jinns. That is why the arsh was slightly modified, and that is why the Quran mentions that she lifted up her gown. But khair, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam got married with her, and Allah blessed Sulaiman alayhi salam with a child, which he named Dawood. What did he name? Dawood. After who? Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. But khair, this young child did not live, and he passed away. So Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam did marry her, and this is the story which led to some of the events and incidents which are actually mentioned in Suratun Naml. Khair Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. This will be our last session of Darsi Hadith before the month of Ramadan. Inshallah, we've actually covered everything in Suratun Naml, and we will continue with our durus after Ramadan, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir, bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.